Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we hear and receive your word today, that we may turn our hearts to you and hear what you would say. For we know that you always speak peace over your people, encouraging our faith. So may it be so today. Amen. John 20, beginning with verse 24. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Where was Thomas? Do you know? Maybe you can speculate. Where was Thomas on that first Easter morning? You know, the 20th chapter of John tells us about Christ's resurrection and how the women go to the tomb on that Easter morning and they find it empty. And then later that evening, we learn that Jesus suddenly appears among his disciples in a room that had the door locked. Last week, we talked about that text, and I gave you keys to remind you that Christ's presence is the key to our peace. Not just this man, but this living man, the living Christ. His presence today is the key to us having peace. And Jesus delivers that hope and that peace to those disciples, but one of them wasn't there on that first evening. Thomas was not there. John says, Thomas was not there when Jesus came. So imagine what it must have been like for Thomas to walk back into the room after Jesus had came. Maybe it went something like this, the conversation. "Hey, Thomas, you'll never believe what just happened. Jesus was here like 10 minutes ago, and you missed him. He showed us his wounds and we saw his body. And then he breathed on us the Holy Spirit and spoke peace over us. We know it was him, Thomas, and you missed it." What might that have been like for Thomas? It would be like a Mississippi State fan watching the women's basketball team play UConn on March the 31st, 2017. You remember that team played in the Final Four in this infamous game where Morgan Williams hit this game-winning shot as the time expired to snap UConn's 111-game winning streak. Yeah, that happened. Imagine that happening. But instead of watching the game play out, you go to bed early because you know how that story is going to play out. Nobody's beating UConn. So you go to bed early. Wrong place, wrong time. Where was Thomas? We don't know. For some reason, Thomas had not been there behind those locked doors when Christ appeared to the others on that first Easter evening. They told Thomas, "We have seen Jesus. We've seen our Lord." But he finds their message a little bit too hard to believe. For this reason, we often refer to Thomas as Doubting Thomas, don't we? He's old Doubting Thomas. But I think what we should really remember him as is Absent Thomas, and not Doubting Thomas. It's always a dangerous thing, y'all, to miss church. You might miss out on something amazing happening. But y'all, let's not be too hard on Thomas. We are a lot like him, if we're honest. Some things can seem too good to be true, even to us. We need some time to process it, to take it all in. Take that state game, for instance, I was just talking about. I woke up the next morning. I picked up my phone on that Sunday morning. I went to bed early because, you know, I have to do the church thing on Sundays. My wife stayed up and watched the game all the way to the conclusion. And I woke up and I picked up my phone and I saw the score and I couldn't believe it. I immediately got on ESPN and all the websites and watched all the highlights and all that stuff. It was surreal. They had actually won. Now, living up at Columbus, we had followed the women's basketball team very closely over those Vic Schaefer years. We attended a lot of games. We were fans. And this moment seemed too real to be true. It took a while to sink in. Just like it did for Thomas. This news about Christ's resurrection. So let's look at his story a little bit deeper this morning. Notice what Thomas says to these disciples that say, "We have seen Jesus alive." Thomas says, "Unless I see for myself the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in his side," he says, "I will not believe." You know, when I think about Thomas, I wonder, was he a skeptic? Was he a doubter? It would appear on the surface as though Thomas was a skeptic. I mean, by the very definition, a skeptic is someone who refuses to believe something that everyone else believes. They need evidence. They want proof before they believe. That's what a skeptic is. They are inclined to question or doubt the opinions and views of others. They need proof. Now, Thomas knew that Jesus had been crucified, as all of his followers knew. They knew that he was pronounced dead, that his body was taken from the cross, wrapped in a shroud, and placed in a borrowed tomb. They knew that Jesus was dead. It was certain. But it was too much to ask Thomas to believe that this same Lord that he had witnessed be crucified and died was now somehow alive again. It seemed too much of a stretch for him to go there. And now him appearing to his followers and his friends. It would take more than their wishful assurances in telling Thomas, "Hey, he's alive." And to ultimately see Thomas be able to overcome that disbelief, you know, it would take a lot for him to actually believe without seeing. Who among us would condemn him? Y'all, we all know what it's like to hear something that seems too good to be true. Our immediate reaction is to be skeptical. I mean, how many of you have ever seen one of those reels, those videos on Facebook or on Instagram and wondered, did that really happen? I mean, given all the technology we have today to alter video and pictures and all of that stuff, can a person really do something like that and survive, we think? I mean, I think that all the time when I watch these videos. How often have you ever seen someone on Instagram or TikTok talk about this amazing product or this candy that we just need to try, that everybody thinks is wonderful, and we think to ourselves, is it really that good? My daughter Caroline is on social media like most teenagers are these days. Not long ago, she saw someone on a TikTok that was talking about how amazing these gummies from Walgreens are. Now, I have to confess that I didn't believe it. You know, these gummies are these mango-flavored, pillable gummies. I told her that Walgreens had probably paid this person to tell her that. She shouldn't believe that. That's a ruse. They're just trying to get us to buy them. Well, it worked. Debbie and I spent 3 weeks driving around Walgreens here in Clinton and one over off State Street looking for these gummies. Couldn't find them. They're sold out. Guess why they're sold out? Social media influencers telling everybody they're great. Well, finally, I bought some online and ordered them, and they shipped them to my house. You could only order one bag, and the shipping cost as much as the gummies did. It worked again. So how were they? Were they as good as they said they were? Yes, they are. Here's a bag right here that's already been opened. Oh, those smell so wonderful. Mango-flavored peelable gummies. Who would have ever thought that you could fake a mango if they did it? Skepticism. It can be a barrier if we allow it. We attend an event and people experience God there in some powerful way. We leave saying we didn't experience anything. We didn't feel anything different. People have this awesome, unbelievable emotional experience when they receive Christ in their life, when they get saved. But our faith journey is different. We haven't had an experience like that, so we wonder, am I really saved? You hear people talking about having a very powerful devotional time with the Lord. But when you pray or read your Bible, God seems to be silent. Listen, I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. We all have a unique faith journey. Not everyone gets to go and see an empty tomb. That's not everybody's experience. But it doesn't mean it didn't happen. And it doesn't mean that God is not real. For some, the journey to belief takes more time and more evidence. Is there anything wrong with praying sometimes, Lord, show me a sign? We've all prayed prayers like that. I have to. Y'all, I believe that Thomas wanted to believe. He just needed more evidence. Thomas is like the man who encountered Jesus one time in Mark chapter 9, and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. It was the Apostle Paul who tells us that if the resurrection did not happen, then our faith is futile. And the reason is this, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation It's the linchpin of the Christian faith. Maybe you've said when it comes to the resurrection, you need more evidence. What is the evidence for the resurrection? Well, that's a whole other teaching session and a whole other message. But I want you to know that there is plenty of evidence to support Jesus' resurrection from the dead. There's historical evidence. The tomb was empty. The facts surrounding that historical event we have recorded in four different gospels, written at four different times by different groups of Jesus' followers. And some of the details in there, if you were trying to make up a rousing story like the resurrection, you would have never included those details in the first century. First of all, like the women coming to the tomb first. If that didn't really happen, then it would not have been written down. You know, we also have the evidence of Scripture, the authority of the Bible, the Word of God from Old Testament. There's prophecies in the book of Isaiah and other places about the resurrection from the dead. And even in Isaiah 53, we find a reference to Jesus' resurrection that would come in the future. Y'all, we have evidence based upon the authority of Scripture. We also have personal encounters that people have had of the risen Jesus. They're recorded in our Scriptures and all down through human history. We have seen and heard people give witness to encountering Jesus' presence here and now. There is evidence, I believe, in the resurrection. But maybe you're not quite there yet. If it's not resurrection, maybe there's some other point of faith that you're wrestling with. I want you to know that Thomas teaches us that it's okay to wrestle with our doubts. But let those questions and doubts push us toward God, toward greater places of clarity and not away from God. Notice what this text says next. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Here, Thomas, put your finger in my wounds. Reach out your hand, put it in my side." And Jesus says to Thomas, "Do not doubt, but believe." Y'all, this leads me to a final point that I want to share with you this morning. If we seek him, if we seek Jesus, we will find him. I don't believe Thomas was a skeptic. I believe Thomas was a seeker. After a week, Jesus shows up again because Thomas stays with the disciples. In his searching and his wrestling, imagine how excruciatingly painful those 8 days of waiting must have been for Thomas. There was plenty of opportunity for him to walk away, to disengage, to leave the church behind in his doubting and in his questioning. But he stays. And y'all, there's a promise in the Bible that tells us if with all of your heart you will truly seek me, you shall surely find me. God's words through the prophet Jeremiah 29:13. Y'all, this is what God says to do, to seek after him with all of our heart. Seek and you shall find, we are told. There comes a point when we In order to take the next step toward assurance of our faith, that we need to doubt our doubts. We need to put them to the test. We need to wrestle with them. We need to get real curious about what we believe. And when we open our doubts and our questions honestly before God, I believe He meets us in that space. Just like He met Thomas. Thomas kept seeking. He did that. And Jesus had a personal encounter with him. Do not doubt, Thomas, but believe, he says. And Thomas, how does he respond to Jesus? With one of the most clear and definitive affirmations of faith we find on the lips of anyone who followed Jesus in the Scriptures. He says, "My Lord and my God." Wherever you are on your journey of faith, I want you to know that Christ can meet us in that space and help you to take the next step. I believe there's always a next step for us to take, no matter where we are. Each step that we take toward God, toward faith and belief, can lead us to new growth and new possibilities in our faith journeys. And it can also open us up to an assurance of our faith. Y'all, we weren't there for that first Easter. Only a handful were. But like Thomas, we don't have to be. We live trusting in a risen Christ. And we know that when we really need Him, when we really seek after Him, He will reveal Himself to us. He did it for Thomas, and I believe He'll do it for you and me as well. In the end, it's not Thomas's doubting or demanding that matters. It's his believing. That's what made all the difference. Everybody doubts, but not everyone believes. If we seek Him, He will reward us, and we will surely find Him. Hebrews 11:6 says. So I want to encourage you today to be a believing Thomas. Seek the Lord as persistently as you can. The moment will come when the presence of the risen Christ will come to you. And you will be moved to proclaim the same thing that Thomas does. My Lord and my God. That's my hope and my prayer for every one of us as we make our journey in faith toward Christ. Amen. When you came in this morning, you should have received a little card that has the logo of our church on the front. And it says at the top, "Everyone has a next step." This is a card that we are going to be using a lot as we move forward. It's going to be placed in the pews. It will be available every Sunday. But I am going to be inviting people to take the next step. And if you'll look on the back of the card, there's a number of next steps that you can consider this morning. It says, "I am ready to take the next step." And with this card, you can indicate to me one of four things. One, if you would like to attend the Coffee with Pastor coming up on May the 19th, you can check that box. If you would like to make a commitment to follow Jesus, if you've never done that, but you would like to do that, if you need more information about how to do that, then please mark the card and let me know. If you would like to be baptized or reaffirm your baptism, then you can indicate that with the card. A lot of times we experience God working in new ways in our life. We want to either be baptized if we've never been, or to acknowledge that new beginning that God is doing, that new chapter, by marking it with a remembrance of our baptism. And then finally, if you are not a member of our local church and would like to become a member, you can indicate that with the card. Please fill in your contact information. Leave it on the pew this morning. Where you're seated, just seated. Whether you fill it out or not, just leave it behind. Don't take it with you. We will use these each Sunday. And they will come to me. I will go around and collect them this morning after the service. So please respond ever how the Lord is leading you to respond today. So let us stand, and as we make our responses, let us unite our voices together as we sing our closing hymn, which is Open My Eyes. It is hymn number 454.